Let's pray. Jesus, you are the one who saves, like we just sang. And Jesus, you're the one who really, truly loves. And I pray this morning you would teach us and even transform us to be able to love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we just had high school graduates come up on stage. And for some of you, you know, like Ian or Trinity, like it wasn't that long ago that you guys were graduating. You know, for some of you like Bonnie, it was a little bit of a while ago when Bonnie Carroll was graduating high school, you know. So different age spans. But all of us can remember that time when we were finishing up with school, whether you were graduating or not, you're finishing up with school, and you thought, oh, I'm so ready to be out. I'm done with all this, have to go to English class. I'm done with have to do this or that thing and have to listen to the bell or whatever. And you had this image in your mind of, I'm so free. But probably even Ian and Trinity have already learned in just about a year or so that when you leave all the have-tos of high school, you typically run into a bunch of other have-tos. And Mike is shaking his head, yeah. So as you go through life, there's all these other people besides your English teacher who want to poke their finger at you and say, well, you have to do this. You have to wake up at this time, or you have to be here at this time, or you have to wear this or do that. And so even though we end maybe with this, you know, hallmark moment of, oh, I'm graduating, it's so exciting, a lot of us find ourselves like this, of like beat down by the have-tos of the world and just thinking like, okay, I'm just going to grind out the rest of my life. I'm just going to survive. And we're kind of beat down by all of those have-tos. And that's a pretty low spot to be. I don't think any of us want to be at that spot. But a lot of us are there. And maybe this morning you're there, if you're like, I'm just trying to make it. So we're going to watch a video about somebody. It's just a couple minutes. He's kind of a strange guy. But as we watch this video, some big kind of bully tries to come in and tell him what he has to do. And this guy says no. And it changes his life. So I want you guys to watch that. And you can find all these videos at chowhound.com if you want to watch more of them.
When I was about 8 or 9 years old, we went on a family vacation up to a place called Happy Camp. They had a spring, and this water had natural carbonated water. And I could remember as a little kid thinking about that spring and said, if we could pipe this down to my school, when we turned on the water spigots, we could get soda, and I could have different flavors of soda. I wouldn't have to drink the water that I drink. I went to work with my father when I was 5 years old. Yalco's itself goes back to like the roots is 1897. About 10, 11 years ago, the Pepsi Cola salesman came in and he said, I got the best buy you're ever going to get on a pallet of Pepsi Cola cans. I'm only going to charge you $5.59 a case. And I said, thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to send my customers down the street to Ralph's because they're going to be on sale down there for $1.99 a 12 pack. And he says, well, you can't do that. Pepsi Cola is a demand item, and your customers are going to demand that you carry Pepsi Cola. And I said, my customers are going to be happy I was honest with them and send them down the street. They can buy them cheaper than I can buy them. And after 2 weeks of really being upset, I said, thank you very much, Pepsi Cola, for reminding me that I own my shelf space and I can do anything I want. So I immediately went out and found 25 little brands of soda. They, gee whiz, they were still in glass bottles, and I put them on the shelf. And you know, people would come in and look at them and say, what are you doing with all those old things that don't sell? And when I got to 250, it's where you're finding them. So now we have about 500 different sodas. If you're going to get a root beer, the one that's hardest to find is the Red Ribbon because it's made with the bark of sassafras. If you're looking for a lemon lime, try the Bubble Up. It's still made with lemon and lime oils. The Manhattan Special, the company that makes the coffee soda, they've been making coffee soda since 1895. The same family in Brooklyn. They roast the coffee beans, they brew it, they bottle it. A little 10-year-old kid, he comes running in, he says, where's that cucumber soda you made me buy? And I'm laughing. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. A little kid asking for a cucumber soda. You know, they don't drink cucumber, they don't drink vegetables. I mean, you know, people say, well, you're here and you're working all the time, and I'm saying, I don't work. I just play all day long. I come in and play.
I don't work. I just play all day long. I just come in and play. We're going to get back to that thought. I want to start with the bully of this story, which is Pepsi. Sorry if you like Pepsi. But the bully in the story, the Pepsi guy comes and he says, here, you have to do this. And when the guy says, well, I'm just going to send my customers down the street because they can buy it cheaper than I can. The Pepsi guy, what does he say? He doesn't say, I'll lower the prices. He says, you have to do this. Your customers are going to demand, he says, demand item, you know, or whatever. Like, your customers are going to demand Pepsi. They're not going to stand for it if you don't have it. Now, most of us don't run a grocery store. Most of us don't have demand items on our shelves. But the world comes to us a lot and says, you have to do this. If you don't dress this way, or if you don't do this thing, then maybe you're going to get fired from your job. Or maybe you're not going to be able to keep your house, or maybe your friends won't think you're cool, so you have to buy this certain car, or you have to spend this time, you know, at this place with your friends instead of with your family, because in order to stay friends with them. There's a lot of have-tos that people try to put on us. You have to do this, or you'll have no friends. You have to do this, or you'll have nowhere to live. You have to. You have to. The guy found that he didn't have to. And most of us, when the world comes and tells us you have to do something, most of us either go, oh, you're right, I have to. I guess I'll just wake up every day and do something I don't want to do. And that's how we live our life. That's not good. Some of us get angry and we say, no, I hate that they make me do this. Someday I'm going to get rich enough and strong enough, and then I'll do things differently. And if this guy had said, I'm going to wait until I'm as big of a corporation as Pepsi, and then I'll do things different, he probably would have never made it. And if you think, oh, when my kids are finally out of the house, then I'll help that elderly woman across the street with her yard care. Or when I pay off this credit card, then I'll start giving some money to God. Or when I you know, get less busy at work, when it's not our busy season, then I'll go to more meetings. Whatever it is for you, if you're putting it off into the future, probably you won't ever make it to there. And even if someday you do get big and strong and you have all this money, or you're free of some of your responsibilities, go around and look at the people, if you get a chance to know anybody, who really did get really rich, or who kids moved out of their house, or whatever thing you're hoping to have someday, or really do have their license, or whatever it is, I bet they still have a life that's full of tons of have-tos. And if they haven't learned how to say no to some have-tos, then they're still just running around, a slave to a bunch of stuff they don't want to do. So Corinthians talks to us about, if you can get big and strong and amazing, it can still be hollow. So don't buy into that devil lie that, oh, you just need to wait till you're bigger or stronger to do what's right. So, Bob, will you read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 13?
We'll do it. Let me just say that this is, by the way, a very famous passage. Ricky Bain, you ought to like this one today. Send me a text and say, okay, Bob, here it is. Because 1 Corinthians 13 has very special meaning to him and to his family. But, you know, as Jake was talking, and we talked about this last week, one of the things that really grabbed me was all of the people from his favorite hero, the seed man, to my favorite hero, the lady who grew vegetables and things and had goats in the urban setting, to this man, they had one thing in common, and that is they had heart. They had a passion. They had a desire. It wasn't external. Joe Calhoun goes all around the country trying to get business people to have a heart, to say, this is worth me. And I've heard Joe say, I don't work, I just play. I, you know, everything's fun. And so we want to talk about how do we get heart, all right? So I'm going to read some things that are very big and very important, but they are probably have-tos. I have to do this, I have to do that. Now, it's strange that you have to do some of the things I'm going to read, but the bottom line, they don't have heart. They're empty. They don't have the love of God and the love of other people in them, and so they're empty. So let's just look at it really quick. So if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, and that's probably speaking in tongues, but it can also be speaking like Jake and I are doing right now. If we were great silver-tongued orators, or if we were tremendous vocalists for the worship team, if we're all of this but we don't have it, we don't have love, we're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, it's a pretty good gift. I can fathom all mysteries. That's big stuff, right? If I have all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains. Folks, if I had some of those qualities, I could put together little CDs, or I could get a radio program, and we could fund the rest of our building project here. I mean, those are big deals. And yet the Bible says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. All right? So if I give all I possess to the poor, and if I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Now, we could get layers upon layers upon layers there. Here's what I really encourage you to do. How do I get God's love into my heart? How do I become full of God's love so that those have to's, I have to have this, I have to crave that, and you could go down a list that Jake covered already. Instead of having those have to's, I have a want to. I want to serve God. I want to love other people. I want to do urban gardening or seeds, or I want to, okay? I want to, all right? So take us a little further, Jake.
Yeah, so every once in a while I'll talk to folks that have been coming to Mayo for a while, and through the conversation they'll say, well, I wish the sermons were a little deeper. I wish there was a little more meat to it. We're going to take a real deep plunge for just a second, and hopefully we'll come up with a nugget for everybody, though, okay? So this guy is super, super happy. I mean, he's kind of crazy happy in his store. I want to talk to you real deeply about love for just a second, okay? So how did this guy get to be so joyful? All of us have things that we care about, that we're naturally passionate about. This guy obviously had a passion from the time he's a little kid. He told that story about going to the spring. From the time he's a little kid, he's been passionate about soda. Guess what, if he set that soda up as like kind of the god of his life? Where would that have led him? He'd just have diabetes somewhere and be really unhealthy, you know? I mean, like, that's where, like, if you just, oh, my whole life is about soda, that's where it leads you. A lot of us have found that lesson out the hard way. We have a passion about something, but we set that up as our number one in our life, and it didn't lead us to a healthy place. It doesn't matter what you're passionate about. If you have a passion and you make that the god of your life, it'll lead you to an unhealthy place. So how did this guy get to a place where he's surrounded by soda bottles, but I would say he's pretty healthy and pretty joyful? Did you notice in the story what led him to change his store? It wasn't, soda tastes so good, I changed my store. It was, I'm going to send my customers up the street to a different place because they could buy it cheaper. And when the Pepsi's guy's like, your business is going to fail if you do that, he said, my customers will be happy that I was honest with them. Do you see kind of what's under the surface there with him? He loved other people enough to do wasn't just selfishly good for him. And because he loved other people and he had a passion, when he brought those things together, it was healthy. If you are passionate, whether it's about seeds or gardening or it's about hip-hop music or you're passionate about carpentry or you're passionate about laying asphalt, I don't know what you're passionate about, but if you start loving other people, that passion has a chance to actually be expressed in a good way, in a way that nobody else thought possible. So most of the time when we talk about love, we say things like, I love pizza, or something. You probably use the word love in that way more than you use the word love in like the real way this week. You probably said like, I love this song, or I love this food. When the Bible talks about love, it doesn't mean that. The Bible talks to us, Jesus says, two most important things do your whole life. You get an A in life if you do these two things. It's to love God, and then second, it's to love other people. But has a pretty big definition for what love means, okay? And Bob's going to take us through that definition. I think this guy loved other people, and that's why he's got this joy. If we will love God and love other people in this way, I think we can have that joy.
All righty, so we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm just going to read this, and I shared in the early service, but I'm going to ask Jake to kind of finish up with some stories. But there are two different times that I prepared great sermons that were horrible. I preached a lot of bad sermons, but I mean, those were two in particular that I studied love. This is what love is. And yet God had something else for me. And so we can look at all of these words and we can sort of know what they are, but let's dig into those words to make know what they are to us, all right? So love is patient, but take some time to read it. 1 Corinthians 13, meditate on it. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so, did I zip through that or what? Right, boom, boom, boom. But the real deal is not to know the words or to be able to say the words or even give a definition for the words. The real deal is to, when we are in the middle of real life, to live it out. And so Jake's got a couple of stories to tell about people who have, and by the way, there are a lot of people around here who humble me in the area of love because I see you do things that I think, wow, I don't know if I'd do that, but you do that. And so he's got a couple of stories to highlight that today.
Yeah, so just real quick before I get to the stories, when you hear things like always protects, that guy was protecting his customers even though someone was telling him he couldn't. And I bet this last week there was some sort of have to put on you that was against you loving somebody in the right way. I have to do these 17 things, and so then I only get 4 hours of sleep, and so then I'm not patient with anybody else at work the next day. And it's like, God called you to be loving, and one of those things is to be patient. Maybe you didn't have to do the 17 things before you went to bed. Maybe you can have a different have to. So in order to say yes to God's plan to love, you're going to have to say no to some of the bullies in your life that try to tell you how you have to live. So this phrase have to has been on my mind all week. It came up in my small group, though, this last week. So Brandon is one of the guys in my small group. I'm going to tell you several stories real quickly, and it's all different ways I've seen people love this last week. I've seen people take steps with God. If you haven't heard any stories from somebody else, then you haven't been talking to enough people in this room. There are a lot of stories in this room about how people are saying yes to God and no to themselves. So I came on Wednesday night, and I heard a whole bunch of those stories. I talked to people between Sunday school and church. I heard some more stories. You need to be actually engaging the people around you so you can learn how to do this. Come on Wednesday night. Open up. Talk. So Brandon, tell you just a little bit about his story. He's been through a lot of adversity, but real quick, the very tail end of it, the last couple years, he was leaving work. He worked at Burger King, got hit by a car, and cracked open his skull. His brain was swollen. They weren't sure he was going to live. Then they weren't sure he's going to have full motor skills. Then they weren't sure how bad his brain might be damaged. Went through months and months of rehab. Finally, he's been struggling. He got off. He's living on his own, though, now, taking care of himself. And now he's out looking for work this last week, okay? So he's applying back at Burger King's and McDonald's and stuff. He's taking the bus to go apply at Burger King. I hear a lot of other folks that could be in a better spot if they'd have the humility that Brandon has. Just throw that out there if you're looking for a way to change your life. Okay, so there's that. If you think, oh, I'm too good to go on a bus and go get a job like that, then I don't know. That's probably all you need to hear this morning. It's just, you know, so you just sit on that one. So Brandon is already doing great, I would say. If I had heard from Brandon, I'd be like, you are right on, A+ for the day. You know who's a lot harder on people than I am? It's the same one we've been singing songs about. So Jesus is really easy to please. You could be a total train wreck and then say, like, I'm sorry, I want to do better. And Jesus got a smile on his face. But if you expect to go to bed tonight and have Jesus say, you did everything right, there was nothing you could have done better, like, I don't know, you know? Jesus keeps wanting to push us, you know? And so if you feel like I'm doing everything right, I don't know that you've been talking to Jesus very much. Because Jesus likes to push really hard. So Jesus is pushing Brandon. I'm the one who would say, Brandon, you did great today. You went and applied to Burger King on a bus. You know, you went on a bus, you did it all. Guy talking to Brandon at the bus stop is hungry. Brandon just telling me on the phone, so this guy was hungry, so I had to, which that made me kind of perk up, I had to get him apples, is what Brandon told me. And so he went and got an apples. It took a little while to get the whole story from Brandon. So what had happened is this guy's hungry, he's talking to Brandon, and Brandon said, well, what do you need, or what do you want? And the guy said, I want apples. I don't know where that came from. But so Brandon, who doesn't have any transportation, somehow, and doesn't have a lot of money, to be honest, he went and bought a bag of apples for this guy. It gave the guy at the bus stop a bag of apples. And his reasoning wasn't, I'm such a great person, he didn't have a big smile on his face. He just said, well, I had to. That was his, the guy was hungry, he wanted apples, so I had to get him apples. And I think Brandon's boss in that moment is Jesus. Jesus is the one who's putting have-tos on Brandon, and no one else is. Most of us would say, well, I have to get a job before I can do anything else. Or I have to X, Y, Z before I can do anything else. I have to take care of my own problems before I can help anybody else. Or I have to understand everything before I can help anyone else. But for Brandon, it was, this guy was hungry and he wanted apples, so I had to get him apples. When was the last time you feel like Jesus put a had to on you and you dropped what you were doing and you did whatever Jesus said you had to do? Because if that's the case, then Jesus is your boss. Somebody in first service told me they've been working 70 hours a week, great job, they really like it. 70 hours a week means that the boss wanted them to come in at 6 a.m. this morning. Well, that guy called his boss at this good job that he hasn't had for very long, and he said, do you value me as an employee? Am I a good employee? And the boss is like, yeah. And he's like, well, if you want me to keep being a good employee, I'm going to have to keep going to church. And so, yeah, so that guy told his boss, I can come in at 10 this morning. Or I don't know if it was this morning, I don't know when he called his boss. But he said, I can come in at 10, but I got to go to the early service at my church before I go to work. And what he told me was, I wasn't sure what my boss was going to do, but he said, I was doing a morning meditation. Again, if you're looking for ways to change your life, maybe spend some time with Jesus in the morning. He said, I was doing a morning meditation, and I was reading something about God being my boss and my provider. And he said, I realized even if my boss doesn't like it and I get fired from this job, God will take care of me. Amen. Even if I get fired from this job, God will take care of me. Amen. So, yeah, amen. So there's a lot of power when you let go of the have-tos and you just say, Jesus, what do you say my have-to is? And then you start doing that stuff. There's a lot of stories I could tell, and I can't go into all of them because I'll keep you guys forever. Listen to these stories, though, because this week you're going to have people that tell you, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. And you're going to rush through your whole week, and at the end of it, you're going to look like that grumpy guy. And you're going to also be able to say, like, I didn't do anything for Jesus this whole week. That's not a good week. Like, wouldn't it be better if you said, I did this, you know, I bought a bag of apples because Jesus told me to, or I stood up to my boss because Jesus told me to, or I don't even know what God wants you to do. But I know it can make an impact on other people. Real quick, one more story because I'm excited and we got a couple minutes. So another guy from my small group, he's a dad of new kids, you know, young family. He's just trying to get things together. Doesn't have a lot of money. He cuts down trees. I actually asked him if I could tell this story. So his name's Kyle. He's one of the guys that we were dedicating the families last week. So Kyle works with a lot of immigrants and a lot of guys that have done drugs is how Kyle describes his coworkers. So that's Kyle's environment. And it's kind of a tough environment, I think, for Kyle. And he said the other day, though, he had a mom with a baby that didn't have enough money that somehow was in the neighborhood that they're in. I don't know exactly what Kyle gave this lady, but he gave her so much either food or money or I don't know what, that all of his other coworkers that he kind of has a hard time with, they were asking him, why did you give her that much? Which, honestly, like, I haven't had anybody ask me that question in a long time because I am not as generous as Kyle is, to be honest. So people were asking him, why did you give her so much? And Kyle's response was, think about it, if you were in her shoes, like, what a rough spot that she's in. And it's because I think Kyle has a young family. He's got a baby at home, a new baby and stuff. I think he could actually picture, what would it be like if I were this lady on my own, struggling, trying to take care of this baby? And so he went above and beyond. And then his coworkers, who don't go along well with him, are left asking him questions about, why did you do that? And Kyle starts talking to him about why. I left out of the story with Brandon. Brandon wound up getting that guy's number and was trying to get him to come to church on Wednesday. Like, it didn't work out, but they're still talking, and it might work out in the future. So when these people start saying yes to Jesus, other people start asking questions. Other people start getting impacted. And this week, if you say, Jesus, what do I have to do this morning? If you say, Jesus, I want to do one thing for you today, and then go ahead and just read 1 Corinthians 13, and it'll give you some ideas of what to do. And you think, Jesus, how do I love you like that? Or how do I love somebody else like that? I bet Jesus will give you something to do. And imagine if you came back next week and you said, here's the 7 have-tos that I did for Jesus. And maybe you had to say no to some Pepsis out there to be able to get it done, you know? I bet your life would be different. I bet 7 other people's lives would be different. Today, as we're closing out, we're thinking about... Oh, that's our last picture. I thought we had one more. Okay, so as we're closing out today, if you want that joy that soda guy had, I think you have to be able to say no to some of these have-tos that you get stuck on. You have to start saying yes to this way of love. You have to start saying, yes, Jesus, I want to do it your way. Okay? So I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys. If you want to go a little further, you don't quite know what to do, come up on stage. We'll have some small group leaders up here. They can pray for you, okay? But I'm going to pray a blessing over all of us right now, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, this week, help us to have the courage to say no to whatever that Pepsi company is in our life. Whoever that bully is, whatever that peer pressure is, whatever that have-to is that we don't need to listen to anymore. God, help us to have open eyes, open ears to see the have-tos that you put in our life, to see the ways that we can love you and love other people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.